Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, economic, social, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. The last few programs have been about broader issues, the social justice movement, prophecy, some theology of predestination and salvation. It's been a while since I've actually addressed what is in the immediate news. The Mueller investigation, the illegal immigrant caravan, the defections out of the Trump cabinet, the government shutdown. I've run into more than one Christian who has said to me, "I've become a news junkie and I had to stop watching the news because it was stealing my joy." And this is true. If you're having your morning devotionals from the Drudge Report rather than the Bible, you're going to be one messed up Christian. So the purpose of this radio program isn't to follow every leading story in the news and complain about it like most pundits. I want us to focus on the bigger picture, what God is teaching us in the broader scheme of things. Most people go through life missing the lessons that God is seeking to communicate to them through events. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1, "Who is like the wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a matter?" Ecclesiastes 2:14, "The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness." The image of having your eyes in your head is that you see and discern what is happening around you, not just the facts, but you understand the moral, spiritual lessons behind it all. But in order to see the bigger lessons, sometimes we do have to point to individual events and statements from politicians. So on today's program, I would like to get back to the news. I'd like to analyze or discuss the government shutdown over the wall and what we can learn from this event. You know the story. President Trump wanted $25 billion to build a wall on our southern border. The Democrats in Congress refused to fund it, so Trump cut the request down to $5 billion. The Democrats still refused to fund it, so President Trump dug in his heels and said, "This is where I stand. I will not sign the continuing budget resolution funding the government unless Congress puts $5 billion toward the building of the wall." Now, Congress can override the president with a two-thirds vote, but since the Democrats don't make up two-thirds of the Congress, they cannot override the veto. So the funding of the government is at an impasse, and both sides refuse to give in. The Democrats believe that their refusal to fund the wall and forcing the president to keep the government shut down will help them politically. They hope this will make the president look petty. The Republicans, on the other hand, at least the president and some of his Republican allies, believe their refusal to fund the government for the sake of border security will help them politically. They hope that Democrats will be made to own illegal immigration and open borders, which is unpopular with most American people. Last January, the Democrats shut down the government over immigration. They refused to fund a continuing budget resolution unless there was some agreement on DACA recipients receiving citizenship. It became bad optics for the Democrats. And so after a few days, the Democrats caved and they didn't accomplish anything politically. If anything, it hurt the party. So why do these parties see things differently? Why is there such polarization? Morris Brooks, congressman from Alabama, explained the issue in a recent interview. He said Democrats do not want to secure the southern border because they want to change the voting electorate in the United States through immigration. In other words, they want more Democratic voters, And poor immigrants tend to vote for the socialism of the Democratic Party. Presidential elections are won by only 1-5 percentage points. If 10 to 20 million illegal immigrants can be welcomed in, eventually they will become citizens, and the Democrats will never again lose another presidential election. And this is the case that Ann Coulter lays out in her book, Adios America. She does a pretty good job of explaining how the Democratic Party plans to cement their power through immigration. The numbers needed to change the balance of the American electorate can be achieved by just a small push for illegal immigration. So, in this interview, Morris Brooks went on to say, it's a very tough position that the Democrats have put us in. On the one hand, you have got thousands of Americans who are dead each year because of the Democrats' refusal to secure the border. Those Americans are dying either because they have been murdered by illegal aliens, vehicular homicides by illegal aliens, or the illegal narcotics that are shipped into the country by illegal aliens, and the drug cartels with the drug overdoses that are in the tens of thousands of lost American lives per year. So the question is going to be how much blood, American blood, you have to have on the hands of the Democrat leaders like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer before they will help us with border security? Or is their craving for power such that they're willing to accept the loss of American lives? On our side, those of us who care about border security and care about the financial health and actual health of American citizens, we've already compromised a lot on this issue. $25 billion is what we need to properly secure our border with a wall. And we're all the way down to $5 billion. That's a huge compromise where you're giving up 80% of what is needed to adequately protect the lives and the safety of American citizens. Unquote, Congressman Morris Brooks. So is that a correct assessment? To be fair, the Democrats would argue that they are not obstructing efforts to stop illegal immigration because of their want for votes. But they're doing it because they care about poor families. That this is a moral issue in helping the poor and the needy. Democrats are saying America is such a wealthy country, we can handle the influx of these illegal immigrants. Just bring them in and it'll all work out for the better in the end. However, why support illegal immigration if there's a perfectly good alternative to illegal immigration that provides the charity in a much better way? And that alternative is legal immigration. In 2017, the U.S. naturalized 700,000 people, immigrants made citizens. That is more people than the entire state of Alaska or Vermont or Wyoming. Over the last 10 years, the U.S. has naturalized 7.4 million people. The United States is more than generous in helping immigrants find a better life. And illegal immigration actually does more harm. Let me give you five reasons. First, illegal immigrants are the bullies who cut in line in front of other poor families who have applied for U.S. citizenship legally. Second, illegal immigrants take jobs and opportunities away from legal immigrants and work visa recipients. Third, a very high percentage of illegal immigrants are criminals. And legal immigrants don't appreciate these thugs coming into their new country. These were the thugs they were hoping to leave behind in their old country. Fourth, because these immigrants are coming in illegally, when they get here, they can't get legitimate jobs and housing. They can't pass E-Verify. So they end up living in slums, like the immigrant ghettos popping up all over Europe. Fifth, the coyotes who bring these families across the borders are crooks. They promise these people paradise in America, but America is a very difficult, expensive place to live. The lie is that immigrating to America is salvation, but it's not. The average cost of housing in Mexico is $25,000. In the United States, it's 8 times that amount, $200,000. So if we want to help the poor, why don't the Democrats lobby for increasing the number of people legally naturalized each year? Why isn't that being discussed? Probably because the left feels that the overall optics in supporting the immigrants, legal or otherwise, will help win the Hispanic vote. We have to keep in mind that people can be very subjective in deciding what is moral and what is immoral. This is a very important lesson to learn in life. People tend to call things moral when they are benefited by it personally. This is a lesson in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, that those with depraved minds, those who are unprincipled, those who follow their feelings rather than the word of God, determine what is right by what gives them gain. What is godliness is whatever is gain. 1 Timothy 6:5, and constant friction between men of depraved minds and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Why is there constant friction? Because when values are based upon pragmatism rather than the word of God, everyone's values conflict. So politicians and parties will deem something to be moral because it benefits them. And this will be on a subconscious level. They will sincerely believe that they're doing it out of charity. But if the policy did not benefit them, all of a sudden they would not perceive the policy as being so charitable. Because the policy benefits them, the problems or the troubles created by that policy are ignored. So yes, there are dangers and evils associated with supporting illegal immigration, but it's easy to convince oneself that the good of illegal immigration overcomes the bad. That is when illegal immigration benefits one's political party. And you can be sure that if immigrants that would vote conservative were pouring over the border, Democrats would all of a sudden see all of the downsides of illegal immigration. People think they're objective. But in reality, our ethics are often determined by what is of personal benefit to us. If it benefits me, it must be okay, and the evils are overlooked. I mean, how many people do what is right, even to their own hurt? Only the righteous man described in Psalm 15. Psalm 15:4, he swears or makes an oath, even to his own hurt, and doesn't change. Well, the bottom line is this. The Moore Nation is run by unprincipled people. People who do not operate on the higher law of God. The more disastrous policies will ensue. Unprincipled politicians will destroy a nation because they pass self-serving policies that will benefit them in the short term while hurting everyone else. They will sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 16. Woe to you, O land, whose king is a lad, whose princes feast in the morning. The image in that verse is of a king who doesn't do the hard thing, doesn't save for a rainy day, doesn't consider the future, doesn't make the sacrifices for the long term, but parties for the moment. Now, apart from the wall issue, this is what the continuing budget resolution and the government shutdown is all about. The government is borrowing from the future to pay for the lavish government programs in the present. I mean, there's all this talk about the wall, but the media and the politicians are missing the elephant in the room. The reason why we're having to extend the national debt ceiling to fund the government is because the government is operating on borrowed money. 35% of every federal dollar spent is borrowed. And the politicians do not have the backbone or the courage to cut the size of government because they are unprincipled. They put their political careers and their popularity above doing the right thing. And so neither party wants to be the party that cuts the government. It's like a parent who wants to be the fun parent. I mean, every parent wants to be the parent who buys the gifts and takes kids for trips to Disney. Spoiled children do not want the disciplined parent. So it's as much the public's fault as it is the politicians. Now, this all calls to mind the famous 18th century quote from the British statesman Alexander Tytler. Democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up to the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. So, how does the public vote themselves gifts from the public treasury? Well, it happens by politicians making policy based on getting the votes of the people rather than doing what is morally right, economically and socially. It happens when leaders no longer believe in the law of nature and nature's God, but when law becomes a function of the will of the consensus. This is why we have problems in our nation. Now, if you think about all the problems we have in our country, illegal immigration, the national debt, the opioid crisis, they could all be solved overnight, but because our politicians have other agendas, they will not do what is right to solve the problems. It's not simply that they do not have the knowledge, but they are being paralyzed by ulterior objectives, such as their unwillingness to cut the size of government because of their statist ideology. And this is what the Old Testament prophets described as the cause for the fall of ancient Israel. Their leaders were unwilling to do what was right because they loved the licentiousness and the lawlessness and the ideology of paganism. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand by the way and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Isaiah 28:12. He who said to them, here is rest, give rest to the weary, and here is repose. But they would not listen. Jeremiah 18:12. But they will say, it is hopeless, for we are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Jeremiah 44:16. As for the message that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we are not going to listen to you. So the right way was there. The people had the law of God. The solutions to all of her national problems was simply one good decision away. But the nation would not change because the leaders and the people had an ungodly, unprincipled, lawless mindset. Not all, but the majority. And they had reached the tipping point where the unprincipled outnumbered the principled. And by the way, the reason I'm using this term unprincipled is because that is the New Testament biblical label for these people. 2 Peter 2:7. Lot was oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men. 2 Peter 3:17. Be on guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men. The Greek word here is athesmos, which means to be without law. In other words, those who see law as a function of the will of the people, those who operate on the basis of personal pragmatism, those who do not submit themselves to the moral law of God economically or socially. And of course, these people believe they're being lawful because they do believe in law. But the law they believe in is based upon their own desires, their own benefit. So what spiritual lessons can we draw from this government shutdown? I suppose we could discuss the ethics of border security or the ethics of the national debt. I mean, the Bible addresses those specific issues. But there's a broader issue going on here. Our politicians' inability to do the right thing because they seek power and personal gain. The fight over the budget, the fight over the wall, is the result of having ungodly, unprincipled leaders. And the curse that comes upon a nation that abandons God is very well described by the prophets. Deuteronomy chapter 28. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. Deuteronomy 28:29. You will grope at noon as a blind man gropes in the darkness, and you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually. Isaiah 29:14. The wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9. The wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught because they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what kind of wisdom do they have? The leaders of Israel, in her last days, did foolish things that brought about the destruction of the nation. And ungodly people will be bereft of wisdom. They will be confused. They will take the wrong path. They will bankrupt the nation. They will send businesses overseas. They will open the borders and give the nation to foreigners. They'll turn cities into slums. For example, Detroit, it used to be the wealthiest city in America, but now it's a ghetto. Why? Unprincipled, greedy, ungodly politicians. So we're seeing in practice how these Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled, even in this controversy over the wall. It's not just the ignorance of the leaders that destroys a nation, but their wrong values keep them from doing what is right, keeping them polarized, paralyzed. Their false ideology gets in the way of common sense solutions. And so this is how a people stumble backward and are broken and are snared and taken captive. So what are we to do about all this? Well, first, we need to speak up and explain the problem. We need to testify to the truth. Isaiah chapter 58, cry aloud and do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgressions. So we must explain the reason for this political paralysis that is based upon people having the wrong foundation for ethics, that they've replaced the law of God with personal pragmatism. And this is the result. Again, Jeremiah chapter 8, behold, they've rejected the word of the Lord, and what kind of wisdom do they have? The Christian community has to do a better job explaining to the nation that our national problems come out of a failure to believe in and practice the law of God. And let me conclude by making this personal. We've been talking about the nation, but if you personally don't submit yourself to the law of God, if you live an unprincipled life, you will be paralyzed. You will be destroyed by your own foolish choices. You will fall backward, be broken, snared, and taken captive. So we must all personally repent of our self-will and our autonomy from the law of God. And that is the big lesson God is communicating to us through what we see in the news. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for taking the time to make God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people to have their eyes in their head, to discern what is happening spiritually in our nation, and then help us to better communicate that godly wisdom so that many will be saved for your glory. Amen.